irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Dave's Good Vibration Station with Dave Cohen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
You just tuned in to Dave's Good Vibration Station. Woo! Welcome to the show, where we talk about anything and everything to raise your vibration. So much power and energy flowing through the studio today. Welcome to Dave's Good Vibration Station. As you know, like we always say, this is the show to raise your vibration. I'm your host, Davey. Today we have a very special show lined up for you today. As you know, being vibrational beings, energetic, frequency-emitting consciousness, we have the opportunity, each and every single moment, the opportunity to be, do, and have whatever it is that we emit vibrationally. There is a man that I love to welcome to the show. It is my honor, who understands greater than most the fundamentals of what we talk about here on the Vibration Station. Welcome, Bruce Rawls. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. I'm not so sure about more than most, but I have fun with exploring it, so I'll accept that much anyway.
Well, it is.
Thanks for having me back on your show.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Bruce. It's such a pleasure. It is that passion that you know allows you the inspiring insights that show myself along with our listeners many, many things that we did not previously know about our universe and our surroundings. Just to give the listeners a little intro about who Bruce is. Bruce Rawls is a mystical explorer, geometric artist, and researcher, author, and illustrator of two books, being Sacred Geometry Design Sourcebook, Universal Dimensional Patterns, and The Geometry Code, Universal Symbolic Mirrors of Natural Laws Within Us, Friendly Reminders of Inclusions That Forgive the Dreamer of Separation. Very, very powerful stuff. Collaborating with Michael Feinberg of Light Source, he developed a companion screensaver with dynamic imagery that complements his second book. That would be the Geometry Code, correct? Is your second
yes,
book.
Is.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He geometrically inspired interplanetary artwork that has been exhibited in several states, including the United States, Switzerland, Austria, and Asia. He is a student of metaphysics, non-dual metaphysics, a WordPress web designer, developer, and editor, webmaster of, you guys got to make sure to check these websites out if you haven't already. My favorite, geometrycode.com, acimblog.com, Bruce Rawls, that's just BRUCERAWLES.com, and last but absolutely not least, WP-webdesigns.com. Powerful, powerful stuff. Bruce, it is always a pleasure and a blessing to have you on our show. What we were talking earlier, last week, about what each and every week we always find to resonate with a topic that links us to our past, links us to our roots, right? Something that we can look at in today's world and look at in ancient scripture, ancient text, or ancient even technology, and find synchronicities, find alignments. It really is like, you know, the history does repeat itself, whether it's technology, whether it's the destruction and reconstruction of cities or being flooded or whatever it might be. There always seems to be a repetition, a rebirth, kind of like the phoenix. We were talking about continuing about the synchronicity between geometrics, mathematics, spirituality. Bruce, what I'm trying to ask you here is, with all of these connections, with this shift in time that we're in today, being this paradigm shift, the 2012 to, you know, you'd heard the 2012 to 2015 is like this, it's almost like this gateway opening, and it's happened before, supposedly. There's this planetary cycle that we go into. With our previous knowledge of the past, with our previous and our current understanding of planetary alignments, of certain things that repeat themselves when planets align in the past, my question for you, Bruce, is, in today's day and age that we are in, obviously there's a shift. Obviously there's a pivoting in momentum, you could say. Everyone feels it. Everyone sees it. I mean, politics is different than it's ever been. Mathematics is expanding. Science is expanding. The potentials of science are expanding. My question for you, Bruce, is with your knowledge and your understanding of, you know, planetary alignments, of how the universe works in a perfect geometrical pattern, would you say that we are experiencing a pinnacle point once again in our time, in our space and time on planet Earth, a pinnacle point where we shift from, I guess you could say, one dimension to the next?
Well, that's a really interesting question, and it deserves a much more extensive answer than I'm going to give initially, which is, it's going to sound pretty flip, but I think actually at every moment we have an opportunity, yes, to make a shift. Yes. And you could call it a dimensional shift if you want. I think it actually transcends the whole notion of dimensionality, as it's talked about in a lot of New Age circles, if you will. The reason being is I think that What we often experience as we begin to look more inwardly, as a metaphor, because there's, you know, if, as physicists have pointed out, particularly my favorite quote, I think from John Wheeler, who's a physicist, that's not that hard to say, is that there's no out there,
right?
which basically is suggesting that what we perceive is a reflection of our awareness.
Yes.
and our choice of thought systems. Yes. And that's why and thank you for that extensive plug at the beginning with all the websites.
Well,
and everything.
That's absolutely true. You're an amazing man, Bruce.
Well, yeah. I don't know about that, but I do know that when I find myself slumming around mentally in an exclusive thought system, one that separates people out, that makes differences important, that's when I'm ill at ease. That's when I don't feel at peace.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And I think that's a crucial distinction that I think enables us to look at the phenomena of our temporal and spatial universe and what you were just alluding to with your question. So I'm hopefully going to be addressing it a little bit more fully now.
No, I love
because,
it. I love
because
it.
Because there are cycles, and the cycles that happen, you know, whether it's the Mayan calendar or right. you know the you know going back to antediluvian times and all the you know, the technologies and the buildups that have happened on this planet, which appear to have happened numerous times. You know, we keep building up and then having it crash, and then building up and then it crash. And
right.
I've been synchronistically listening to an interesting audio for probably the fifth or sixth time, I guess, at least, by one of my mentors, probably my favorite mentor, actually, Kenneth Wapnick, who is probably the foremost authority on A Course in Miracles. And he has numerous works that are brilliant. One of them that I've been listening to is called From Futility to Happiness. And in it, he talks about the Greek myth of Sisyphus. And if you happen to have studied this, Sisyphus was the king of Corinth, in according to legend and in Greek mythology. But he apparently did something that I forget the details. But you know, oftentimes humans do things that displease the gods in Greek
right.
mythology.
Right.
You know, you piss off some of the pantheon, and and then they take their outrage in terms of some punishment. Well,
exactly.
Of course, that's a mythology of duality, but there's some interesting things that fall out of that, which is that Sisyphus, because of his transgressions, and I won't, you know, I could Google it and find out what they were, but I forget what they were at the top at the moment. But his punishment was to take this huge boulder and roll it up to the top of this mountain, only to get to the top of the mountain and have it come crashing down upon him over and over and over again, which kind of is really ties into the whole nature, the cyclical nature of things,
right.
where we build up these civilizations that attempt to solve problems in the world,
right.
and essentially, you know, fix the hologram, if you will.
Exactly.
and there's nothing wrong with trying that, and we're all going to do it. I mean, it's not like we should you know berate ourselves or you know judge or condemn ourselves or each other in any way for doing that. I mean, it's no different than being self-abusive because you like water or oxygen, you know,
right.
but because those are repetitive cyclic things that we do over and over again that seem to sustain us for a while, and you know, if we take good care of ourselves, you know, about a century or so, and yet there's this mystical understanding, I think, that we all have that is within everyone, that goes beyond the things that seem to be happening in our very narrow focused lives, that you know, like you point to the 2012 you know prophecies and the window of this time period,
right.
several years and that sort of
right,
thing.
Right.
And I think there's probably something to that. However, I think it's also can be a real big distraction for making a particular specific period of time special. And obviously, since we are in that time period, it's, you know, do the best we can with what we have and the opportunities and do whatever is possible within our capabilities and using all of our skills and knowledge and understanding and emotional wisdom, if you will, as well, to be kind and to be helpful and to do the things that minimize misunderstanding and minimize you know, the hatred and the greed and the craziness in the world and all
exactly.
that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I guess in a roundabout way, I guess to answer your question, it's an important time, but it's no more or less important than any other time. It's just that because of our expectations. It's sort of like when you have an expectation that does set into motion certain things. And, you know, every year we expect it to get colder in the winter and warmer in the summer. And you probably think of countless examples that have seasonal or diurnal, you know, variations and things like that, that things that happen in a cyclical or recursive, you know, recurring way.
Exactly.
Probably recursive too. I started to go there. But that's a whole nother subject. So I guess the thing that I would suggest is, if we can remember to look at our thoughts, look at what leads us to a feeling of inner comfort, inner peace.
Yes.
And we can use symbols of all kinds. I happen to like geometric symbols because I think they're handy, and it's something I happen to be particularly interested in. But you could use anything. I mean, if you're into I don't know, bird watching or mechanicking on earth movers,
exactly.
or analyzing movies or music, or you know, just about anything that you can think of that's an interest, you can look at how the metaphors that those present, including everyone in our lives.
Yes.
I mean, there's a book that I read years ago called Life as a Waking Dream, by Diane Kennedy Pike, and she postulated that we can use the same techniques of dream analysis that are used in psychotherapy and individual, you know, on your own kind of analysis work that a lot of people do, for looking at our waking life, which a lot of metaphysical systems would suggest is also a dream of sorts.
Yes, indeed.
And look at that dream as rich with symbolic content, and Freud called it the royal road to the unconscious.
Wow.
the world of our dreams. Well, he may not have been referring to our waking dreams, but both nocturnal and diurnal, you know, both our nighttime and daytime dreams can be really, really rich opportunities to look at what's going on and ask ourselves, how am I feeling moment to moment? What is the quality of watchfulness, the quality of observation, and just noticing what's happening, and without judgment, if you can do that,
exactly.
And if you do judge yourself, you know, to not judge yourself for judging yourself,
yes.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
But just because, you know, we all go through these rhythmic cyclical phases.
Yes.
You know, we have days when things seem to be going wonderfully, and then we have days that seem like dark nights of the soul, or you know, cataclysmic, horrific, end of the world scenarios. You know,
right.
And of course, all of those are interpretations,
exactly.
And everything in between those, you know, seeming extremes.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I mean, everything you're saying is perfectly on point and is exactly what I wish to think in all the time, because if we kind of understood that and moved with that and what weren't so focused on the little minute details of, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, you know, you get in your car, you get so defocused by traffic, you start thinking about bills you have to pay and people, blah, blah, blah. But then wait a minute, it's all a projection. It's
exactly.
All, it is all a literally a reflection projection.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
It's
you
all
know,
the
a
actions.
Couple of weekends ago, we had the Golden Globe Awards and watched that and watched all the celebrities, you know, parade up and down the stage and get these, you know, trophies and so forth, and coming up is the Oscars, you know, so we're sort of in the midst of those two you know, celebrity culture events, and I'm a big movie fan, I have to admit. I there's a lot of movies that I really enjoy.
As am I, and my father is a huge movie buff. Oh
yeah.
Goodness, you should see his he has a library of movies. You and him would get along.
Well, actually,
famously.
Funny you should mention, because my mom also has this VHS library, particularly of old movies from
her
wonderful.
Era. That's awesome.
Just that fills up most of one of her guest bedrooms.
That is so funny. That's
yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome.
But I think the theatrical metaphor is the important point, is that if we can look at our lives as a movie it doesn't mean that we have any less vigor or passion for doing what we can to make it a kinder, happier, more peaceful, more sustainable, more loving place. But to keep in mind that what we're fixing, what we're putting on our technician hat for, is a holodeck, just no different than the Star Trek episodes. Where it's like a massive hologram, and we're all actors in this giant holographic drama. If you took any one of our performances in a given lifetime, one day of that, really.
Yes.
Would, if you think in terms of that as an acting job, we're so rehearsed in our roles.
Yes.
We're so totally practiced of thinking that I'm Bruce, you're Dave, everyone else is who they think they are,
right,
that we've forgotten this is like an Academy Award plus, transcending all the awards that have ever been given, put together.
It totally is.
Role. We have assumed a mask and a persona and an identity that we made up and forgot we made it up and thought we threw away the key.
Wow. Bruce, that is probably one of the most profound sentences that has ever been spoken here on the Vibration Station.
It's not terribly original. I mean, there's a lot of metaphysical systems that we'll talk about, life as a dream or a movie or as a projection, and they're all valid metaphors. But I think again, the important thing is to just be gentle with yourself when you notice yourself reacting to things going on, and
yes,
recognize that the self that's observing that drama, that daytime dream drama with all of its seeming exaltations over triumphs over others, and then the defeats and the dramas and the tantrum yoga practice.
Yes, yes.
Totally. where we get upset about anything from hangnails to holocausts and everything in between.
Wow. Wow.
And not that we shouldn't, but just to watch, to shift our identity from the character on the screen, of this three-dimensional screen,
yes,
that we call space-time.
Right.
But to gradually shift our identity by forgiving ourselves and forgiving the dreamer, as the subtitle of that book that I wrote says, by noticing that we can look at the symbols of our lives, which include our own bodies and those of those around us that we live with, that we work with, that we call our families biologically, that we call our coworkers, that people on the highway, people in the grocery stores, or wherever we hang out in this planet.
Right, exactly. Yes.
They're all characters that populate our dream at our command, and we don't really get to choose what everyone does, but the massive, staggering opportunity and potential that we have every moment, not just at certain key moments in a end of a Mayan calendar cycle or whatever,
is
to let go of the narrow, myopic, tiny, constrained pinhole view of ourselves and our world, and allow perception that really goes beyond perception, that really is an awareness that we're more than that. We our true identity, our true essence is outside of space and time, and can afford to look back on our little dream drama roles,
right,
with a gentle inner laugh. And sometimes it can manifest as an outer laugh too, if as appropriate.
Wow.
Some circumstances is probably not advised, but if we can begin to just look at the things that go on in our lives, like you give a great example that's a pretty common one, is getting annoyed or frustrated or impatient with traffic
right,
on the highway, or just stuff, technology that isn't working the way you want it to, or whatever.
Exactly.
Pick your favorite annoyance,
exactly,
or least favorite.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
And just look at how those things can either define your identity,
wow,
or from that point of awareness that's beyond that stage, beyond that screen, if you will. If you're in the audience, right, looking at it with what I like to call our inner kindness teacher, and we all have the same counsel that isn't necessarily a person, but it's more of an awareness, this gentle understanding that we took with us into this dream drama that we can remember to look with, and it's almost like we've got this companion in the audience of the theater that we can sit there while we're munching popcorn and looking at the events of our lives, yes, objectively.
Yes.
And say, "Oh, I'm thoroughly identified with this, but I don't have to be."
Right. Right.
I don't have to make what seems to be happening the defining essence of what I am. Now, who we are, of course, that's on the screen. But what we are can be back in the audience. And I think that transcends the dimensions, which is one of the things I thought might be interesting to talk about in terms of, you know, since we've sort of been doing more metaphysics so far this hour.
Exactly.
We could jump back into some of the geometric metaphors that I think are pretty interesting too.
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually that was my intention of starting the show, with the whole idea of shifting and dimensions and moving from one to the next, and really fulfilling that idea of dimensionally shifting. And Bruce, you said something that really resonated with me. And I absolutely want to get into actual four-dimensional geometries. But what that was is you said that one of my favorite speakers says a variation of. And that's... You can't, let's see, what did you, oh goodness, here we go. It was, the best, oh goodness, I'm trying to see how you just worded it. I'm having a quick blank right for a moment. Here we go.
Paraphrasing works.
Yes. Every single moment, here we go. Every moment, right, is a projection, right?
Uh-huh.
This was the train that I'm trying to hop on here. So it's like, if every single moment, right, you don't need that pocket per se, this shift pocket on the Mayan calendar between these dates and these dates, we'll be able to ascend. You know, it's like, it's you have every single moment, you are a projection of the non-physical energy that creates the wholeness of you. So if in every single moment in time you have that potential, you literally have the opportunity to discard what is currently in front of you and fulfill and almost inject yourself with whatever it is that you wish to experience on the exterior. So it's like if you're experiencing some negativity, or, you know, for example, let's use the common example, traffic, right? You could be in traffic and you could be 100 miles, 1,000 miles from home and stuck in traffic and just wanting to get there and pissed and angry. But my point is, if you... And your point is, which I'm trying to bring out in my own way here, is if we in that metaphorical traffic jam can close our eyes, maybe keep your eyes open and watch the road, but. But, you know, close that inner eye of, you know, this is what's happening to me now. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm angry and frustrated. I'm 1,000 miles from home and I'm late. Instead of practicing and admitting that, even though that very well might be the case that you're projecting in that moment, if you can woosah and start visualizing what it's like to have your feet up on the couch, your car in the driveway, and in front of your fireplace, reading your favorite book or watching your favorite show or whatever it might be. If in that traffic jam, if you can visualize and breathe into feeling the vibration of you kind of being home, getting closer in consciousness to feeling like you're closer to home, or feeling that comforting feeling of I'm not so far, but I'm, you know, or imagine in your head passing the off-ramp that is, you know, your off-ramp, or passing the next couple off-ramps, you get that feeling, oh, I'm almost home. You know, I used to drive about an hour and a half every day to and back, so a total of about 3 hours every day to work. That lasted for about half a year, about 6 months. And I could tell you, when I got to a certain off-ramp, I got so excited because I knew that I was on the home stretch. Uh-huh. And it was a vibrational shift in my body. I shifted from grumpy, this is traffic, stressed, had a long day, just want to get home, to, oh my gosh, I'm home free, right? But the crux of this is, if we can shift literally, almost like dimensionally, it's literally a dimensional shift in consciousness. If we can still be sitting in that traffic and feel like we are on the home stretch, we will literally manipulate our time and space to where we have to get home quicker. We have to somehow, some way, miraculously find a way. The universe will have to yield to us a form of us to get home quicker than if we were to sit in the car stressed and actually wait for the traffic to open up to feel good. You catch my drift?
I do. And I'm going to suggest something that may sound not really derogatory, but I think there's a danger in, and believe me, I've gone through plenty of new age and I don't know what other adjective you want to put onto it, you know, paradigms and studies and, right, and explorations, right, and that sort of thing. And there's obviously lots of value in you know, going in that direction. But I think the danger of trying to I call it dream repair. the danger thinking that somehow it's going to shorten the amount of time, or it's going to you know, magically teleport you, or whatever. And not that those things aren't possible, and I'm sure there are people on the planet who can do that.
right.
But I don't happen to be among them, and probably most of your listeners aren't either.
Yes.
So what I would suggest that's probably a bit more pragmatic is, if we can tap into the awareness that is at peace throughout eternity, that is not dependent on any particular specific or condition or state, that I think is more than phenomenally. It's just
wow.
It makes all the difference between trying to shift from dream A to dream B, or illusion A to illusion B, or to hologram A to hologram B, because it basically is shifting our identity from the character that's on the screen, the characters that's on this three-dimensional hologram that may happen to be on a freeway in bumper-to-bumper traffic, or, you know, doing something else that's equally less than wonderful or desirable to whoever is experiencing it.
Right.
So it doesn't necessarily change the physical surroundings, or you know, what the molecules and the atoms and the, you know, all the mechanics of this billiard ball Cartesian Newtonian world are doing. But what it does do is, I think it taps us into a quantum realm, if you will, I think is really even beyond quantum physics. It's really quantum metaphysics, where we recognize that our true identity is beyond space and time. It's outside the dream.
Yes.
And that shift, if we can remember to do it by forgiving ourselves for using the things that we project, such as highway snags and, you know, I'll give one that I was working with this past week. WordPress plugins that are supposed to be responsive that weren't, and spending a better part of a week trying to come up with a solution for a client. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. It's no matter what is going on. If we can just look at that and say, am I, moment to moment, am I compromising my peace of mind?
Yes.
For something of a moment's duration, or an hour, or a month, or a lifetime. I mean, a lifetime is really a blip in the cosmic radar of what we really are.
Oh, absolutely.
And now that sounds kind of harsh and insensitive, but in some respects, but really, I think that if we can think of the kindness that's behind the intention to see ourselves as not only invulnerable, but totally unaffected by anything that happens to the specific lifetime that we happen to be living.
Absolutely.
Now, that doesn't mean that it absolves us from doing what needs to be done. Like if there's an accident on the highway, and you happen to be a paramedic or an EMT or something like that, you probably be good to get out and save a life or whatever's appropriate,
right,
you know.
Right.
It doesn't mean that we just zone out and don't do appropriate things that are kind and helpful but I think that
absolutely,
ability to go beyond the dimensions that we think we're stuck in gives us actually additional flexibility and capacity, because if we're not identified as being stuck on this specific character that happens to be, the one that we see in the bathroom mirror every morning when we slog ourselves out of bed and drag ourselves into the bathroom to get a drink of water or whatever, that awareness that there's something beyond, behind those eyes that we see reflecting back, there's something deeper, there's something more, gives us an opportunity to respond in a way that we wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yes, absolutely it does.
It expands the sphere of our identity from a little bubble, and to use a geometric metaphor, a sphere is bound by an inner and outer dimension, right? Or
yes.
The topology, if you will, of what's inside the sphere and what's outside the sphere. But if you can imagine a sphere that is infinite in diameter and radius and circumference,
yes,
that would include and encompass everything and everyone, and if that could be like a metaphor for an
wow,
identity that we all have as one being,
right,
that helps us to be more compassionate. It helps us to, when someone doesn't seem to understand what we want them to understand, or vice versa, that we can be compassionate to ourselves and to the people in our lives. And
yes,
we can say to ourselves, I'm just as much clueless and in the dark as everyone else.
Yes.
And because of that, I can afford to not take my tiny window view of the world quite so seriously, and also to not make too big a deal if someone else seems to not see what we're seeing.
Yes. Wow, that's big stuff, man.
Yeah, I think it can be really helpful. I find it really helpful when I remember to do it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's almost like the way that I like to think of that is like viewing through the eyes of Source. You're almost like,
yes,
like we've said before here on the Vibration Station, is one of my favorite quotes is, you are not one drop in the entire ocean, but the entire ocean in one drop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's very similar to how you were saying, imagine this, infinite sphere that, potentially holds everything and has the potential for everything, right? Inside each and every single one of us.
Yes, yes.
While simultaneously we are existing inside of it, but simultaneously it is just a projection of us. It's like, it's such a catch 22, Bruce. It's like,
oh, it is. Like, and the trick, I think, is to catch yourself when you start having droplet identity, to use that wonderful Rumi quote that you just gave.
Yes, Rumi, exactly. I was going to say, I think it's a Rumi quote. I'm not exactly sure it's a Rumi
I know he said something very similar to that.
Yes, I believe.
And then maybe
it's
others
Rumi
have said something similar too, but it's just
Rumi,
a great metaphor. Because
yes,
we get caught up in the droplets, and we forget that the ocean is really the identity that we never left.
Yes.
But we've crafted this award winning role, this stellar performance that you know, puts everything Hollywood and Bollywood and any other being a production house and movie making enterprise to shame, you know, because we've crafted such an elaborate three-dimensional space, two-dimensional or one-dimensional time, but although, you know, we could talk a little bit about more how there's actually, you know, tachyons apparently have three time dimensions and one spatial dimension, which is kind of interesting.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So just the opposite of what we think of matter here. So, and tachyons move faster than the speed of light. So,
and where,
go figure.
And where do tachyons exist?
Well, I'm going to give another smart alecky answer.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
I would say in our mind, just as the rest of the universe does.
Okay. Well, touche, Bruce. Touche.
But you know, that's I think that theory is actually correct, and the metaphysics that the mystics have been trying to you know, very gently and not, you know, aggressively but persuasively over the millennia have been trying to share with us is that this is the metaphor. This three-dimensional, you know, spatial world with its one dimension of time it's a metaphor. It's a set of symbols,
yes.
Very elaborate symbols.
Yes.
And we can use whatever our interests are, our hobbies, our passions, and look at the symbols of those and see that those have opportunities for us to mirror our thinking and lead us back into a thought system of inclusion and kindness and shared interests and trusting an awareness that incorporates those kinds of thinking in a way that leads us out of identification with the dream figure and back toward identification with this self that really is the same self as everyone else. And that's where if that's true, if the ocean really is everyone and everything, and that in spirit is what we are, then how could one possibly be lonely or abandoned or feel left out or jealous or any of those other, you know, human emotions that really kind of anchor us into a, you know, less than wonderful experience.
The illusion of separation. Yes.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. So it's almost like it's proof that we're just in those moments. You know, it's proof that we pinch ourselves off. It's proof that we really from a listener that a teacher of mine that I consider a great teacher of mine. I'm sure you're familiar, Abraham Hicks, who I listen to. She talks about, you know, the ideas of her metaphor is pinching off, right, the stream. So essentially, you know, here we are in our flesh, blood, and bone physical bodies. But along with that, simultaneously existing, you know, we are pure vibrational beings down to the very molecules that create the flesh, blood, and bone is vibration, is energetic potential. With that comes thought. Now, thought is the purest form in the physical matter of vibration, right? Being, well, I guess everything is vibration. Take that back. Everything is the purest form of vibration. So, but the idea is that when you feel stressed, when you feel tight, when you feel tense, you are literally pinching like a hose, you know, that hose, you have this stream of water, you naturally in your organic natural state of being are streaming this pure positive source energy like a hose through you. Like you look into the eyes of a baby, you're just like, oh, I love you. Why do you love it so much? Because it's that reflection of the source unconditional love that has always been you. That's why you just want to squeeze a baby. Like, you're just like, I love you. And you think animals are so cute. It's because it represents that aspect of you. You want someone to squeeze you and be like, you're so cute, you little source energy, perfect vibrational being. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's
sure,
all reflection.
Sure.
But the point is, it's we pinch ourselves off, like you just said, Bruce. We have this potential in every moment in time. All right, my man. Something that I wanted to move on to was, like we were talking about, four-dimensional geometries. So, Bruce, with the couple minutes that we have, I want to, you're saying, shall we talk about four-dimensional geometries and beyond, all right?
Yeah, I have on the resources page of Geometry Code, if you click on resources.
We're going there right now. And listeners, you might just want to follow us there. Resources page, geometrycode.com. Or you can go, I just posted on earlier, on Twitter. If you go to the Vibe Station, you can just go click on the Geometry Code link. Or you can just go geometrycode.com, which I'm going to go to, G-E-O. Okay, go on.
Anyway, if you scroll down that page, about a third of the way down the page, there's a section called Links to Sites About Polyhedra and Higher Dimensional Polytopes.
We're doing it.
Well, that actually sounds really kind of complicated, and it, in a way it sort of is, but there's some interesting animations. What I would direct people listening to this to would be the first link in that section that says Russell Toll's superb collection of polytope, zonahedra, and zonatile images, and then amazing 4D animations. I happen to have downloaded and have three of these animations looping on my computer right now, and I've been watching them while we've been talking.
That's awesome.
And what these are, if you go there and download these, and they're really neat, they'll play in your QuickTime player or whatever you have handy, and you set them to loop, and you can watch them loop over and over again. What these are is, and I'm going to describe that these are shapes made out of flat surfaces called polygons that comprise three-dimensional shapes called polyhedra. But each of these shapes in this animation, of which there are five or six different ones on that link, each of them is a three-dimensional slice through a four-dimensional shape.
Whoa.
And if you can kind of grok that's basically what Russell Toll, who is no longer with us, I learned this from an email from his sister a year or two ago, but I got to meet him a few years ago when I lived in Northern California and drove out to his place in Dutch Flat overlooking the American River Canyon. We had a wonderful afternoon. He was showing me all this amazing stuff on his computer, just amazing stuff with Mathematica that he'd done. But he's wow. He's put this on a website that I've now got links to here. So, and I think I'll put the animations up so people can see them more easily, because they're just really beautiful to watch. And all the other ones in that section are pretty interesting too. You'll probably find out all kinds of things, like that the Platonic solids that we've talked about in previous sessions here, the cube, the tetrahedron, the octahedron, the icosahedron, and the dodecahedron,
yes,
all have, those are all three-dimensional shapes called the regular polytopes, regular polyhedron, of which they also call the Platonic solids. But each of those has, if you will, sort of like a higher dimensional version of itself in four dimensions. And the four-dimensional version of the simplex, the tetrahedron is called a simplex. So it's like imagining a three-sided pyramid, and then imagine in some other dimension that's perpendicular to the X, Y, and Z axes that you probably remember studying in school. Let's call it a W dimension. And that axis, then there's yet another perpendicular dimension that makes this four-dimensional tetrahedron called a simplex.
Wow.
And then the one that probably people are most familiar with is what's called a hypercube, where you take a cube, which everyone's pretty familiar with, and if you imagine a fourth dimension to it instead of just the usual X, Y, and Z, you can have what's called a tesseract or a hypercube,
yes,
that has an additional dimension that makes this cube that you can see animations. If you Google animations of a hypercube, you'll see all kinds of stuff. And there's great stuff on YouTube and Mathematica and wow, those kind of websites. But I think that and then there's four more which correspond to the three other Platonic solids. But there's one that's like since there's six of them in four dimensions, there's one that doesn't have an analog or a, you know, a companion version in three dimensions. So it's sort of like there's something that goes beyond what we can even imagine, which, wow, of course, these all do to begin with, because we can't even imagine four dimensions of space.
That is amazing, Bruce.
But apparently, according to mathematicians that are far more knowledgeable and into this than I am, but I think it's fascinating, you can take the fact that in zero dimensions you have a point, in one dimension you have a line, two dimensions you have an infinite number of polygons,
wow,
starting with a triangle, the square, the pentagon, hexagon, and then obviously if you go to infinity you get essentially a circle, right?
Oh my goodness.
And when you get to three dimensions, it goes from an infinite number of polygons to exactly five regular polyhedra.
Wow.
When you go to four dimensions, it goes to exactly six regular polytopes. And when you go to I forget which is which, one polycore and polytopes, one is sort of the generic term for any number of dimensions. I think polycore, anyway, doesn't matter, but you could look it up. But when you go beyond four dimensions, apparently mathematicians have figured out that there are exactly three regular polytopes going from dimension five to infinity.
Wow.
So,
oh my goodness,
that's kind of boggling and fun to ponder.
Yeah, this is stuff, Bruce, that literally, I mean, when you start to wrap your head around this and really understand what this means, it transcends anything that you've ever known about the physical reality.
It really does.
Amazing.
And I think the take-home lesson is that we transcend all of these dimensions,
yes,
and we exist outside of space-time and beyond it. And
yes,
and so we can look at these with wonder and amazement and remember that we're beyond that as well. So
wow,
that would be my take-home wrap-up.
I love it, Bruce. I really do, my friend. It is such a pleasure and such a blessing to have you on the show, Bruce.
Well, thanks for
Make sure – oh, man, you're always a regular here on the Vibration Station. Listeners, you can look forward to listening to Bruce in the very near future. We're going 4 weeks from today. We're looking at the third week of every month. You guys can look forward to tuning in to Bruce Rawls here on the Vibration Station. Make sure to check out geometrycode.com, brucerawls.com. And as always, follow us here at Good Vibes Station on Twitter. We love you guys with all of our hearts, always sending unconditional love, light, happiness, joy, and laughter. Bruce, thank you so much, my beloved friend.
Thank you, David.
We will talk to you soon. See you, listeners, next week. We love you all. Bye-bye.